Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It's Palm Sunday, and our readings are for the Passion of our Lord, which is also celebrated on Palm Sunday. But it just doesn't seem fit not to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday. So let's think about it for just a second. There are now crowds following Jesus, and why wouldn't there be? In the John Gospel that would have been read if we did the entrance reading at the beginning of the service today, you would have heard about it happening the next day, Jesus heading into Jerusalem with the palm fronds and everything being thrown on the road. But they were following Jesus for another reason, you see. The day before, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And this crowd was following him as he was now riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, as now the pilgrims are crying out to Jesus, "Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Originally, this was a plea for salvation, but quickly became a term of praise in Israel. The crowd now joins their voices with all of Israel who have been praying for the coming of the Messiah, as they would have prayed in Psalm 118, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Now two groups are converging from Jerusalem. A crowd is coming out to welcome the arriving pilgrims, as was the custom with the Passover feast. And these would commonly include the waving of palm branches along the road and throwing them into the road. You see, palm branches have been one of the nationalistic symbols of Judea since the days of Simon the Maccabee, and 165 BC. Palm branches were used to celebrate the rededication of the temple. The Israelites regularly used palm branches to celebrate military victories. And this would no doubt stir up the latent desires for some political messianic hopes among the peoples. This explains why the chief priest why he was concerned that Jesus would lead an uprising and would lead to the destruction of Jerusalem, and for Caiaphas to say it would be better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. To make matters worse, the crowds following Jesus into Jerusalem are the people, who had just been with him the day before when he raised Lazarus, who was 4 days dead, from a tomb, simply saying, "Lazarus, come out." They are no doubt telling everyone who will hear about what Jesus had done. I mean, you don't see dead people come out of their tombs too often, after all. No wonder there's shouts of Hosanna that is being proclaimed as if Jesus were a conquering king. That Jesus is riding directly, though, into the perfect storm of false expectations, of national pride, and ignorance of the Messiah's true work. Add to this that Jerusalem, a normally sized city of about 50,000, was swelling during the Passover to a city of about 250,000 people, and you've got gas and matches in the same place. Into all this fanfare, suspicion, and rejection comes our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, as St. Paul says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, that's really why Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday always has to point to the passion of our Lord. But what does this humility and death on the cross have to do with palm branches? I'm glad you asked. You see, the palm branches join us with those who first welcomed Jesus. And if you're leaving today, there's a big vase of palm fronds in the narthex. Please take one for yourself, and if you'd like one for a friend, do so as well. As those are there to remind you of this day, because this day starts, well, as Ash Wednesday did, it just brings us closer to the countdown of those important events, the high points of the life of Christ for us, as He is willing to suffer and die for us. This all points, it sounds more like the Lord on this Palm Sunday is returning in His second coming, as described by Paul in our text, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This part of our text is not describing the humble servant, our humble Savior, who is coming to suffer and die for our sins. But we know there is no heaven on earth, because as you know, not every tongue was confessing that Jesus is Lord. Luke tells us, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And John tells us the Pharisees were grumbling about the people following Jesus. This is clearly not our Lord's triumphal entry, because on that day, all will acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. No, this is still part of our Savior's state of humiliation, as He willingly fulfills the will of the Heavenly Father to reconcile sinners like you and me to God. Despite the very sins that we confess today, sometimes we confess them rather haphazardly, not focusing our attention on anything, and other times we meditate on those things that grieve us the most. But we confess our sins nonetheless. And if we are Christians, we'll confess our sins again tomorrow. And if we remain in the faith, we'll confess our sins every day that will follow until our Lord comes. For now, there are those who doubt. There are those who reject, and those who are evenly, openly hostile to Jesus, like it has always been. Yet Jesus still comes, humble and riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey, not with angelic trumpet blast in His judgment seat. No, now He lets others sit in the judgment seat, those who will put Him to death, even though He had done no wrong. Now He allows Himself, well, to be treated shamefully, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be whipped, to be beaten, to be crucified. This is all what makes the statement, "Jesus is Lord," such a profound confession. And it's the only confession that saves. For now, the confession, "Jesus is Lord," is a confession that only God-given faith can make. This confession separates Christians from all other religions known to man. It is the confession that will cost Christians still today their lives. The early Christians had it much worse than we do, even though we like to complain a whole heck of a lot about it. The early Christians would have to choose between faith and life, literally. Jesus or Caesar. As our Lord taught us, no one can serve two masters. And yet in the Roman world each year, everyone in the empire would be asked to burn incense in honor and to honor the emperor and acknowledge his sovereignty, saying, "Caesar is Lord." But the Christians simply dare not. They dare not bring themselves to say that anyone is their Lord except Jesus, their Savior and King. Naturally, they were considered disloyal to Rome. They were condemned as traitors. And they were thrown to the lions for the gross amusement of the Colosseum crowds. Well, they would honor their king under the fourth commandment, just like we are called to do. They knew that they must fear God more than men. As Jesus taught, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Yet it's amazing how quickly today we are willingly able to change our confession. We're willing to change our confession of Jesus as Lord to make our lives just a little easier. Willing to trade our baptismal birthright for even less than a bowl of beans. At our second service today, we'll have the rite of confirmation. And again, the confirmands will confess, just like you, that they will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession of Jesus as Lord. And yet, will we no longer have the threat of death from the government for not taking an oath unto Caesar? How many of your friends, how many of your family members have confessed their commitment to Christ, His church, and their faith, only to fall away within a few weeks, a few months, a few years? Maybe you yourself have wandered for a while. You see, this is why Jesus had to come gentle and lowly. This is why Jesus had to come gentle and humble to give His life as a ransom for sinners like us. Because had He come as conquering King, every last one of us would be damned. This is what humility and the cross have to do with palm branches. For at the cross of Jesus, we know He who knew no sin becomes sin for us. At the cross of Jesus, the Son whom the Father loves is abandoned. He is abandoned by the Father to suffer our punishment, so that we who deserve all the punishment are now declared the beloved sons of the Father, the sons and daughters of our King. The palm branches are part of our celebration, our preparation for our Lord's triumphant return, just as remembering the life, suffering, and death are so important to our faith. This is the Christian faith. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with what He did for us. And just as certain as He rose from the dead on the third day, so will He return again in glory, and on that day there will be no grumbling. On that day there will be no arrest. On that day, there will be no judges sitting in their seats that are made by men. But there will be one judge who will judge with equity all people. No, on that day, there'll be no rejections, no more doubts. For as St. Paul concludes our text, he says it so well, on that day, the name of Jesus will cause every knee to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on this day, we can give thanks that He has given us faith. Faith to make that confession now, so that on that day, that confession won't be to our judgment, but to His glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.